time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my
reading from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, December 9th, 2024. As you know, for many weeks now, we've been studying through the book of Exodus as Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church has been preaching a series out of the book of Exodus. Well, during this month of December, as we're celebrating Advent, we'll depart from the Exodus series and pick it up in the new year so we can focus on Advent and Advent messages. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church to talk about the importance of what we listen to, listening for God's voice in this special time of Advent.
Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1. I'll be starting in verse 18, going to verse 25. I am going to jump to Luke a little bit, just because I feel like I can't not talk about Mary if I'm going to talk about Joseph, because Mary really did a lot more than Joseph did, let's just be honest. And so today, as we look into this passage and we start in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, there's a question that Tyler asked in the video. It's a question you're going to read about all week long. And it's this: is while we wait, we listen for God's voice. And in my life, the best way to describe listening for God's voice is this. With my kids in our house, when someone walks into the house, and if I walk into the house and I say, hey, Abe, or hey, Kate, or hey, Bo, or hey, Zeke, if I say their name and give them an instruction, I'd say 90% of the time it takes more than once. Whether they're looking at their phone, watching something on Netflix, whether they're reading a book, whether they are studying, whether they are talking to a friend on the phone. But if you walk in the house and you just try to capture the attention, the truth is what we listen for is what we what? Hear. Even in my marriage, there's times my wife will give me, like, pour out her heart and express the deep love and affection and just, I mean, every time she looks, it's lust that she has over me. And in those moments, sometimes I just don't hear her because I'm busy and I regret it. Anyway, no, but even in marriage, are you with me? There's moments that I'll talk to Lacey or Lacey will talk to me. And in the moment of that happening, sometimes if I'm not listening for her, she's not listening for me. What? We don't hear. So before we even start this message, the question is, what are you listening for? In some ways, you've come into this room, so you're probably like, okay, I'm interested in this God thing. I'm interested in this Jesus, this 6-pound, 8-ounce infant baby Jesus. Sorry. But you're interested. But I want you to know that what you're listening for matters. Sometimes I think that people today in culture, when they listen for Jesus, what they're really listening for is, it's actually more like Santa than it's like Savior. Because really, when we listen for Jesus, we're looking for instructions to make our life better. We're looking for answers to our problems. Jesus does give us answers to our problems, and Jesus does help us, and like, he loves us. But we cannot forget as we get in, when Jesus was born in this world and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was lying in a manger, Santa wasn't born, a Savior was born. When Jesus came into this world, it wasn't just someone that you can make your life better. It was the King and the person that sits on the throne and the one that needs to be on the throne of your life and my life. This celebration is as we wait for Christmas, what we're waiting for is a king. And that king asks a question: will you give him control of your life, or do you want to keep control of your life? And that's what this story is about. That's what the gospel is. It's that the Savior is born, not a self-help Santa is born. And so as the passage starts, I just think we need to make sure we ask these questions, is what we're listening for. And so now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed is like the step beyond engagement. It's engagement, betrothal, and wedding. marriage. When you're betrothed, you had to get divorced to get out of it. It is a legal binding thing. And so they are betrothed to Joseph before they came together. She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Here's the story out of Luke 1. I'll talk about it quick. In Luke 1, what happens is Mary finds out she's pregnant. When the angel shows to Mary, Mary sees the angel, and the first thing that she says is, what is this? Like, who are you? It says she's afraid. When she's afraid because she has, it's the first angel she saw, guys. And so she doubts and she has questions. First off, it's okay to doubt and it's okay to ask questions. Mary has doubts, she has questions, and then it's followed by a question. After the angel's like, hey, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Then Mary asks a question. Okay, you tell me I'm pregnant. You tell me the Holy Spirit. How is this possible? She had the same health class you had in the fifth and sixth grade. And she's saying, how is this possible? So I just need to point this out that as we look in the book of Luke, as we look in the book of Matthew, it is always okay to ask the Lord questions. It is always okay even to doubt, to question. It is okay. The question is, when you bring your questions to God, when you bring your doubts to God in this moment, is what is the attitude of your questions? What is the attitude of your doubt? When someone asks a question, are they looking for answers? Are they asking a question already know what they believe? When Mary asks this question, she's looking for answers. She is looking for answers and she's willing to give up control. Or what happens in this moment is if you ask the question and you already know the answer, you're trying to hold on to control. Today, here's my question for you. Be willing to ask questions to the Lord that lead you to the answers. Like in my life, I'm telling you, what my understanding of Jesus continues to grow. My understanding of the Holy Spirit continues to grow. My understanding of my Father continues to grow. And the only way you're going to continue growth is if you believe you don't know all the answers. And Mary in this moment doesn't know all the answers and she's willing to ask the questions, and that's a beautiful moment. And the reason she's willing to have any answer, she wants to know what's true, is she's willing to allow Jesus to sit on the throne of her life, her son. It goes on then and says these words. So Mary, then what happens? Mary asks these questions. Then Mary goes off to see Elizabeth. So she finds out she's pregnant. She also finds out Elizabeth is pregnant, who is basically the age of her mom or even older than her mom, like her grandmother. And so she goes off to see Elizabeth, which I can't imagine Mary in this situation realizing I'm 14 years old. I'm pregnant. I've got this man who I love. I'm betrothed to, who's a faithful guy. She's looking forward to marriage. She's looking forward to walking down that aisle, to cooking unleavened bread, to taking care, like she's looking forward to all this life in front of her, and all of a sudden it's like, I'm pregnant, there's no way he's going to believe it. And so she goes to see Elizabeth. When she goes to see Elizabeth, what does God do? He restores in her this moment what? Her identity? Hey Mary, this is who you are. And Elizabeth is excited for her. Family, you need to learn something in life for all of us, is us finding excitement in life, no matter what brought life to the moment, is a beautiful thing. And so she finds excitement in life. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. She's just there. She stays there for 3 months, then she goes back. In those 3 months, Mary was faithful at first. I want you to think about this. She was faithful enough to believe that God could do it at first. Then what happened? Then after she was faithful in her obedience, eventually she found the desire and the love and the excitement of having a child. In your life, God's going to call you to things. Are you faithful enough to get out of bed? Because if you're faithful enough to get out of bed, eventually you're going to find the desire and the love and the hope and the joy in the midst of it. But sometimes they don't feel good when you first get out. They don't feel good when you first walk away from the addiction. It goes on and says this, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. This is what this means. If he would have wanted to in this moment, he could have had her stoned to death and killed. It doesn't mean that no one's going to find out she's pregnant. Because when sisters come back from Elizabeth's house, guess what? She's got that bump now. No matter what culture you're in, eventually they're going to find out. And as she walks back into this culture, it's not that Mary didn't have to deal with hardship. It's not that every single person in this no traffic, like no Casey's General Store town, doesn't know exactly what happened. She went away for 3 months and she came back pregnant. And Joseph is going to honor her by not putting her to death, but he plans on doing what? Divorcing her. But then the Lord shows up. What question do you think Joseph asked God that night before he laid down? This is my guess. God, I don't know what to do. And this happens. But as he considered these things, what did he consider? What are my friends going to think? If I stay with her, they're going to think I'm not a man. Are they going to think I'm weak? If I don't stay with her, they're going to think I'm a bum. Is it going to hurt my business? It's going to hurt my life. What's my family? All those things. He considered these things. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, don't miss this. When you have a hard moment, you have to be reminded of who you are. Let me tell you who you are. Who you are is not where you come from. Who you are is not even the mom or dad that raised you, or the grandma or the aunt, or maybe a foster parent who raised you. Who you are is you are part of the line of David. Everyone in this room, you are a son of the Most High, a daughter of the Most High God. And when you can remember that and I can remember that, guess what we do? We do hard things. We do hard things. I don't care what the genealogy of your biological thing is in this world. What matters to you and I is what makes us brothers and sisters is the blood of Jesus. That is my identity. That no one can take that from me. And he's reminded of his identity. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And instantly he's like, okay, she didn't cheat. Let's just be honest. That's his first thought. And the Holy Spirit, okay, this is confusing. And then it goes on and says this. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. Jesus means salvation of Yahweh, salvation of God. That's what Jesus means. But Jesus was a common name in this time in history. So it's not like you're going to call him some cool, trendy name. You're going to call him a name that other people have. But at this name, every knee will bow and tongue confess that he is what? Lord. It goes on and it says, he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken to the prophet. So Joseph is told in that moment, he's going to be the earthly father of Jesus. And in being the earthly father of Jesus, what's the one thing the angel tells him in this moment? He tells him this. His purpose is to save the world from its sins. You know what's really encouraging to know as a father? What my kid's purpose is. Because what we speak, do you think Joseph ever reminded Jesus of his purpose? Hey, dads, moms, what do we speak over our kids? When your kid plays the game or has the concert, do we critique their efforts or do we speak purpose over them? Because see, the purpose of my sons and the purpose of my daughter is to be a representative of the King. More than making or missing a shot, more than singing perfectly or playing the right song, or more than getting the good grade. The purpose of the Epperson household is to be representations of the King. The purpose of CU Church is to what? To represent the King, to love God and to love people. And the more we can speak life and truth and purpose over our children, the more that they can handle the problems the world throws at them. I believe Joseph was told this, save them from their sins because of this. It was his job to be the earthly presence to remind Jesus of what? When he was made fun of his whole life, I mean, this kid grew up in a small town and everyone knew that Joseph wasn't his biological dad. He was made fun of. He was teased in the book of Psalms that says that he was the song of the drunkards at the gate. Jesus was. He knew what it was like to be made fun of. He talked different. He looked. He grew up in Egypt most of his life. Then he went to Nazareth. And in Nazareth, no one liked anyone from Nazareth because they were just the hillbillies. But family, what was he constantly reminded of? His identity and his purpose. When he saves them from their sins, he saves us from the penalty of sin, right? You're forgiven. He saves us from the power of sin that causes death. When he rose from the dead, he saves us from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and someday he will save us from the presence of sin. But we're not there yet. Because see, when he comes back the next time, we don't have to deal with the presence of it. It goes on then and says these words. Family, what do we encourage our kids in? Like, what are our conversations? Or grandkids? Like, what do we speak over them? All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name what? Emmanuel. What's that mean? God with us. In this passage, Joseph is told by an angel. And what does the angel do? It's not just like a spiritual moment. The angel reminds him of what? What's in the book. I think that's important. He's reminded of, okay, spiritually this just happened, this dream just happened, but what confirmed this dream was Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. In your life, I believe that God speaks. I believe he is present. I believe his Holy Spirit convicts, encourages, and calls us to different things. But hear me say this, it will always match up with what? His written word. And knowing both of those things allows us to walk in his presence and hear his voice better. What are you listening for, right? Do we know every line to every song ever sung by whoever? And do we know the words of the Savior of the world? Do we know every possible matchup for a bowl game, or the lineup of every single person on the Illini, or the lineup of the Bears, or who their next coach will be, or who the next coach will be? Because we can go through them pretty quick. But the reality is, like, I'm just pointing this out just so everyone can hear me real clearly, is what you dedicate your life to listen to is what you care about. Me too, y'all. But if you want to hear from the Lord, he ain't 2 years old. He doesn't babble on. Like, he's pretty clear if we listen. It goes on then and says these words. When Joseph woke from a sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. He said in this moment, so Matthew is telling us, Matthew, this author, is saying that when Joseph woke up, what did he do? He went probably to Mary and said, Mary, an angel told me what happened. Can you imagine that conversation? That's, I wish we had that one written down. The beauty of that moment, you know, the beauty of reconciliation, y'all. The beauty of a woman who felt utterly alone, and the beauty of a man who felt utterly, utterly, like in this moment, like abandoned, or even utterly like ashamed, all these different emotions. And then the moment he recognizes from God, and the moment she recognizes from God, and when the two of them come together, and in this moment of complete reconciliation of our purpose is the same. Our purpose is to raise the king. Our purpose is to wake up every single day, Joseph. And you can teach him a trade of carpentry, but we got to remind him that his purpose is what? To save the world from its sins. That every single day, it doesn't, in that moment, what did Joseph, when he first rolled out of bed, I promise you his thought is like, what are my friends going to think, right? What's my family going to think? Man, I know how judgmental they are. They've been judging everybody. What's my business? How's this going to affect my business as a carpenter if everyone knows I married the gal that ran off on me and was gone for 3 months? What's some of the religious folk around? I'll tell you what they think. But what's the world going to think? But what the world thinks pales in comparison to the joy of reconciliation. What's the Lord saying to you? Mary, in the book of Luke, it says this word, and the word is, she pondered. The concept is really, she really took her time. My wife and I were talking this week, and as we talked this week about this passage, she reminded me of an author by the name of Timothy Keller that talked about pondering and gave an illustration of when he was in college and he went into an event, and they said, we want you to ponder what it is to be a fisher of men. We want you to write all the things down about being a fisher of men. And this author, this Timothy Keller, starts writing it down, and after 5 minutes, it's like, I'm done. And then he looked around and everyone's still writing, and so after 5 minutes, he was done, but then the next 25 minutes, he forced himself to ponder it. And at the end of himself, he discovered the Lord. As I write sermons every week, do you know when most of the ideas come? Not at the beginning. Not in the middle. Not when I want it to end. But as I stand down here, as a choir sings, or Daniel sings, or as I sit in that chair, and I've been pondering a passage for a week, and all of a sudden, Jason stops, and the Lord speaks. Sometimes I think we treat the Lord like a fast food restaurant, which I like fast food restaurants. But you pull up and you place your order. And if it takes too long, you want to honk your horn, but you don't want to be that guy because you got a Jesus fish on the back of your car. But if you didn't, you'd be like, bam, bam, bam. And you wait and you wait and you get up there and they say, can you pull ahead to stall 4? Here's your sticker. Hey, family, he's king. He's king. He knows when we need to hear it. He knows what we need to hear. And he knows your purpose. And he is a father that will constantly, constantly speak life over you. In this passage with Mary and with Joseph, and you see it all throughout Scripture, there is a principle I want to make sure that we understand. The first is, listen. And what are you listening to? The second is, usually when he calls us to something at first, do you have the faith in the obedience to start it? And once you start it, you'll desire even more to do it. Like in my life, I could just make lists of things. As a parent, as a husband, as a pastor, as a worker, starting something hard that is true, after you start it, you fall in love with it because it's truth. Hey, family. Faith starts with obedience, and will and desire follow. And in culture today, we want to just make decisions based on our what? Our wills and our desires. But if we ponder what the Lord has for us, like Mary did, if we ponder what the Lord has for us, like Joseph, even after we make a decision if we'll divorce her quietly, if we keep pondering and pondering and thinking, the Lord shows up. He speaks life over you. He speaks life over me. And because of that, we get to represent the King. So this Christmas season, what are you going to listen for? What are you going to listen to? Our challenge as a church, that's why we're doing this Advent, that's why we're doing the calendars, that's why we're doing the readings, is let's take the next, not even 20 days, and listen for the King. Because he's Savior. Brother ain't Santa. Let's listen to him. Let's pray. God, we love you. We trust you. We need you. Thank you so much that you are King. Thank you so much that you are God. Thank you so much that you love us. Lord, I just want to say thank you that you give us the opportunity to know you. I pray that all of us will just take the time to allow our minds to slow, like exhaust our own thoughts and see what you have to say. Lord, we love you. We trust you. We're so grateful that Jesus came in the world to save us from our sins, to save us from death. We're so grateful for Christmas because the King was born. And Lord, we are waiting on you still. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. That was an Advent message by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church, as preached yesterday. And I'm sure he has us thinking about how clearly are we listening to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are we anticipating a message that he'll speak to us? Or might the busyness of life or all the distractions compete for our affection and attention so that the message isn't getting through? What are the things we're listening to? And are we waiting on the Lord to speak to us? Are we looking for Santa or a Savior during this season? And as mentioned, be willing to ask those tough questions of the Lord. He loves you. He cares for you. He'll lead you. And he's not intimidated by your wonderments, your questions, or your concerns. And I love the importance of finding our identity in Jesus, in God. We are beloved. We are his children. That's where our identity should rest. We'll continue with a series of Advent messages throughout this month and then return to our Exodus study on Mondays in the new year. So I hope you'll be blessed by the variety of programs, the God-honoring material that'll help us during this Advent season, and it'll help keep us walking in step with the Lord. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.